Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast with inauguration. This is your host and cruise director, Madame Perry, and I'm so happy to be here, as always. And I know I'm starting a little bit late, and I was definitely late, but what happened, and this is a first for me, with all the cool people I've had on here, tonight I was late because I was listening to music by tonight's guest. And then I looked up and saw, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be doing a show. So anyway, first of all, say thank you for everyone who's been subscribing, sharing with friends, because the numbers, every day when I check the stats, they're just astronomical, thanks to you. We also want to say so many people have been on lately that have books and things that you should check out. One is Chris Difford, Some Fantastic Place. You know Chris, the co-founder of Squeeze. That is certainly a fascinating book. Also, we had Paul Myers, a journalist and musician, but he was talking about three of his books, Wizard of True Star, Todd Rundgren in the Studio, Bare Naked Ladies, Public Stunts and Private Stories, Long John Baldry, The Birth of the British Blues, or It Ain't Easy. In October that you can pre-order, it's called One Dumb Guy, and it's about TV show The Kids in the Hall. You remember the comedians Kids in the Hall? Hilarious. So go ahead and get that. Also, we had from Mystery Science Theater 3000, one of their finest writers, Larry Johnson, was here 2 weeks ago. And he has an event called Cineprov, which is also movie riffing like MST3K, at Plaza Theater in Atlanta, Georgia, the first Thursday of every month. You should definitely check that out. But tonight, my guest is a fantastic musician. Yeah, he's from, I believe, but you can see, if you haven't seen him, then you've just been shut up in the house because he's everyone's go-to guy. He's was inducted in the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in 2015. You've seen him. He is the go-to secret weapon for people like Hank Williams Jr., Keith Richards, Izzy Stradlin, Miranda Lambert, with CeeLo Green, Matchbox 20, everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and part the beaded curtain and bring him in to hope you'll welcome Joey. Have you here?
Hey, it's good to be here.
Joey,
how are you?
You heard him.
You're breaking up on me. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. How about now? Can you hear me now? Is this a little better?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better.
Great. Yeah. This is the first with all the musical guests I've had. You're the first person I got caught up listening to your music and almost forgot to start the show. So.
Well, that's quite a compliment.
Oh, yeah, well, you've got a great body of work there. So you're one of the people that, you know, everybody wants to aspire to be a working musician, just a solid working musician, and you're certainly the man. But tell me, when did you start playing? Because everybody wants to know, you know, how you did it. When did you start? Where did this career and journey and life begin for you?
I started playing piano when I was about 8. And my parents were paying for the lessons, and I took one lesson and decided I didn't want to go to the lessons anymore, and kept the money that my parents gave me for the lessons and taught myself how to play. So that's how I started playing piano.
Okay. You were a pretty savvy guy at 8 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you know, 6 months seems like an eternity away. You know, think about
oh, yeah.
the fault.
Yeah. Very true. So you started playing piano 8, and so I guess that by the time you got to junior high and high school, that probably made you pretty popular at parties too.
Well, yeah, that was a good thing, but I ended up leaving Kentucky, leaving my home, running away from home when I was 16 to go out on the road with the band. And the band was Wild Cherry, you know, play that funky music, white boy.
Oh,
that was my first road gig. They came through my small town and played, and their keyboard player quit or did something, and I filled in for the night, and then they asked me, you know, if I could come on the road with them, and I said, sure. You know, I didn't bother to tell them I was 16.
Okay, so I mean, sure, they were in a fix, but obviously they were impressed. So when did they find out the truth about your age?
Well, when in La Plata, Maryland, when a state trooper showed up to the gig to take me back to Kentucky.
You're not kidding.
it was one of those things that happened. You know, I went home and they took me back to Kentucky, and I told my parents, you know, look, this is what I'm going to do. You know, you can accept it or you can keep sending state cops at it looking for me.
And their reaction was,
okay,
might as well give
we support
in.
You. Yeah.
Oh.
and they have been some of my biggest supporters since then. And I have to say, I couldn't have made it through some of the rough times without a little help from them.
So that's fantastic. You know, it really does. You do need to have a support system and people believing in you and supporting you to get by, and a lot of things, but especially in the arts. When so, how long were you with Wild Cherry?
Oh, probably 6 months to 9 months. And then ended up in Miami and started playing with some people down there, and kind of gravitated to Daytona Beach. And I was in cover bands after that. And it basically was my college, you know, learning how to play other people's songs. And you do it and you play so much, you get good if you're applying yourself.
Mm-hmm. So. And I guess, too, you have to learn a lot of different people's style as well.
Sure, but you tend to gravitate towards the people that influence you the most. Like, I mean, I gravitate towards Nicky Hopkins and Ian McLagan, the kind of, you know, Stones, Faces kind of stuff. Floyd Kramer on the countryside. So, you know, I've been doing the same thing for 35 or 40 years, and playing piano and organ started around the 1989-90. I started playing just piano and organ, and that's what I've been hired for mostly throughout the years. And what I've played hasn't changed, just what the scenery around me has changed, it seems like.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So you're on the road, and like you said, this is like your college, you know, and that's for all the good and bad things that can happen. And I certainly have got. I'm just a speck, you know, with the music career I had compared to you. But I do know whenever sometimes when you have something bad happen or. That rare moment when somebody else sabotages your stuff or something goes wrong or a musician goes, you know, comes in drunk to the drums or something, you know, you think, okay, this is bad. But then again, where else would I learn this and learn how to deal with it? And better that I learn it
right
now in front of a smaller group than a bigger. This is like your school and your grad work.
Yeah, more likely, you know, your drummer's drunk for the night. That's the night you'd learn drums.
And funny thing, he couldn't figure out why we let him go because of that. But
you meet all kinds.
I said, well, you wouldn't go to your day gig and do that. What would they say, you know? But there's so much to it, you know. But yet when everything is right, I just like it just makes everything else bad or negative go away, you know. When everybody's in sync, and
it has a way of doing that. You know, when everything's hitting on all cylinders, you know, just close your eyes and go with it.
Yeah, I used to say, because we did jazz, and I always said, I'm the weakest link. I could only afford for me to be the weakest link in the group. And I said, there were some times with these jazz guys, and they're going out, you know, on their solos. And I said, for me, it was like a cartoon. I had to be like a cartoon character. You know, when they run off a cliff, and they don't fall. They don't fall until they realize they're off the cliff. I couldn't look down. Once I looked down, it was over. So you got to keep running.
That's exactly right.
So then you really, you began to see the country, and then I know you've also seen the world playing music. And I would imagine in some ways you sort of become like an armchair sociologist too. You know, you see so many different types of people and you get to know different kinds of folks.
Yeah, you kind of have a good judge of character of people. I mean, after doing this, kind of like a psychologist or something.
Yeah. So I don't know, it's pretty interesting. By the way, let's see, if you want to talk to Joey tonight, because there's a lot of fans here, but if you want to talk to Joey Huffman live, and I've got the number to call in is 646-716-9922, 646-716-9922. And Blog Talk Radio assures me that it is a toll-free call in the continental U.S. And by the way, I have a message from Ray D'Africo, your pal, and he says that he's at an event tonight, so he can't be with us, but he sends a shout out and says hello to you. And
Joey says hey to Ray.
Hey, and also another friend of yours who says, you know, she's listening, but she can't call because she's in the middle of her job work day. But she says, you know, she's crazy about you, and she loves you, and she has some great stories. That's Delia Ray.
Oh, Delia, yeah, we do have a checkered past there.
So she says, I can't sneak a call out from work, but tell him I'm listening and say hello. So,
great.
Yeah. You know, so good people. You don't know. And the thing is, we go on in life. That sometimes tends to be one of the most valuable things, as much as doing work that you love, is having good people around you.
Oh, sure. Right. The people you surround yourself with is as important as what you're doing, you know?
And, no kidding. And so, So then you're playing around, you're in some cover bands, and then, you know, come on, tell me how you got to be. I mean, you're the go-to man. I look on your website, and if you're listening, it's joeyhuffman.com, and you see on the website, you have been, everybody wants you. The names of people that have hired you to work with them, everyone, Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, CeeLo Green, Miranda Lambert, Hank Williams Jr., who you still play with.
I'm going to tour with him this summer, yeah. I don't know. I got my first record deal, I guess, in 1986, and I worked with Journey's guitar player, Neil Sean, and wrote a few songs for the record and stuff. And Clive Davis had signed the band, and you know, he was telling us what stars we were going to be, and you know, we were really excited working with these established artists. And Kevin Elson produced the record, who did Journey stuff. And, you know, it gets
Kevin
to be
Elson.
19. Elson.
Is that, Is that Kevin Elson or not the guy that played with drums for Utopia?
No, no, not that guy.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Kevin Elson. He actually mixed front of house for Lynyrd Skynyrd in the heyday, and he produced all those Journey records in the 80s. But he was producing our record, and you know, we had all had high hopes for it, and of course it comes right out in 1988, and you know, stiffs right off the bat. So that kind of leaves you wondering, you know, what are you going to do with your career? You've worked all, you know, everything that you worked for is to get that record deal, and then it stiffs, and you go, well, what now? So
mm-hmm.
I just got a phone call. I think I was in that what's happening now stage when I got a phone call from somebody that worked with Isaac Hayes that asked me, you know, that I've been recommended to, did I want to go do some dates with Isaac Hayes? And that's totally different than what I was doing, you know, at the time. But I said, you know, as I learned, never say no, I can't do it. So I said, sure, I'll do it. And, you know, I went to tour Europe with Isaac Hayes in 1989, I guess. And then it kind of started from there. Played with Michelle Malone and Drag the River. And after that, I called Rick Richards. They used to play the Cavern every Sunday, the Hellhounds.
Mm-hmm.
And just cold called Rick. I'd met him, but I didn't know him. Had his number, and I said, hey, Rick, can I bring my piano down and play with you guys tonight? He says, well, sure, man. So I took my piano down and set up and played all three sets with him. I didn't miss a song. And after that, I was kind of an official member of the combo.
Those guys are so great. And I saw you there with a lot. And I think the last time I saw you was with the guys at, I think it was at the Earl sometime back. But yeah. And they're just the.
Yeah, that was.
They're just the most.
That Keith and the Satellites thing.
They're fantastic. I know they were. When I had my TV show back in the late 80s, Rick and Rick as the Ricardos.
Ricardos.
Were, I think, one of the first. Yeah, remember that? Rick Price, Rick Richards. And they were on one of the first shows I had, and they just made everything so comfortable. You know, but then again,
oh, yeah.
You talk about showbiz and stuff that happens. Remember when they came on my TV show, they were talking about they had just lost out to Milli Vanilli in the Grammys. So
right.
they're showbiz for you.
Yeah, that is, you know, what a sleazy business it is, really.
So, I mean, Isaac Hayes, yeah. So how, you know, then you got to roll into a soul thing. But what was it like? Because he seems like, I've never met him, but I remember I was at a restaurant in Atlanta. I think it was R. Thomas, and he was sitting a few tables away. And as you walk by, he just seemed to emanate just a certain energy. Like
oh, sure. He's Isaac
Hayes.
That
vibrated from him.
He wrote all those songs for Sam and Dave and Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett. Him and his Dave Porter, I think, is a songwriting partner, wrote all those really cool songs. Hold On, I'm Coming. I Thank You. Something Wrong with My Baby. All these cool old Memphis soul songs. And I thought when I took the gig, I'm thinking, yeah, that'll be cool. We'll do some of that. Well, I was handed some charts to play, and they were his later stuff, which is still great, but it was just a little different than I expected.
So then what is it like when you come in new to a band like that, and probably most of the other players were together? Have been together for a while, and you come in new. What's it like finding your place where you fit in?
Well, it's just you kind of like it's like jumping out of an airplane and hoping the chute opens. You know, it's kind of there's about 60 seconds or a few minutes of like going, you know, 120 miles an hour, and then your chute opens, and you say, okay, everything's going to be fine.
Okay. So
I mean, hopefully, you know, Hopefully they're nice and say hey and introduce themselves. You know, I haven't been in a weird situation where nobody introduced themselves or anything like that. Thank God.
Yeah, seriously. But I guess that's really the mark of a professional. You know, there's no games like that.
Yeah, well, I was so young. I was just taking it the whole time. Yeah, I figured out the less you said, the better, more intelligent or more ready for the gig you were. And so I would just not say a lot and people would think what they would.
That's pretty wise. That's a very wise. You're a wise man. You were wise at a young age, I believe. I don't know if that was. Well, then again, I was going to say for being on the road so young. But on the other hand, the guy that kept at 8 years old kept the piano lesson money and taught himself.
Yeah.
I think I'd say that that you were already special. So this Isaac Hayes. I mean, how did you go? So from there, where did you go?
Like I said, I did Michelle Malone and then started playing with the Satellites. And then after the Satellites, or while I was playing with them, I went out with, in 1988, I went out with Keith Richards as Ivan Neville's keyboard tech. And then again in 1992, they called me again and wanted me to do it again. And this time, the people that opened for him were Soul Asylum and Izzy Stradlin. And so from that gig, I got two gigs. I got the Soul Asylum gig and I got the Izzy Stradlin gig. So it's just like my career just kind of blew up from there. In 1993, I started to do a lot of records and I was getting in demand and doing a lot of good touring and a lot of good TV stuff. And, you know, it seemed kind of like I was just standing back looking at myself doing this stuff and going, I can't believe this is happening.
I can't imagine. Yeah, sometimes you would just stop and think, this is really me. This is my life, you know. And now Rick Richards he had already been working with Izzy, hadn't he, at that time?
Yeah,
or was that,
yeah.
Or did you just start with him at the same time? Yeah.
No. Rick was working with him before. That's kind of why I went and took that Keith gig again, is because the Satellites couldn't play. Rick wasn't there. And so I went and did that. And then I sat in on that Keith tour. I sat in with Soul Asylum on their set when they opened. And I got Rick to talk to Izzy to let me sit in with him when he opened for Keith, the one date. And it worked out great. It was cool. And then we got back from that tour and Izzy played the center stage here in Atlanta. And I was going to sit in on that one. And I had already packed my bags because I knew that they were going to ask me to come finish the tour with them. And I was right. Made my ex-wife so pissed off. I'd only been home like 2 days.
Oh, no. And we see that you said ex-wife there, so I think we get the...
Yeah. Yeah, she
had
too big of a sense of humor. Yeah, she didn't have too much of a sense of humor about that stuff.
It's funny thing, I've been married for 31 years, and my husband, not only is
well,
he's traveled... thanks. But as soon as we got married, he was sent around the world. It'd be someplace like, you know, a couple of months. Then they'd send him from that country to another country for another month or so. And people would go, how do you do it? You know, they'd ask him, how does your wife let you go? He goes, oh, my wife's a natural loner. She's just fine. You know, and it's true. So I always said, for me, I don't know about, you know, or the women in your life, but you know, Joey, to me, I felt like it made it more like an affair than a marriage. So it was like we were always glad to see each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've had some really rough relationships because of music, and I'm in one right now, which she understands what's going on and stuff. And you know, I'm always gone, so she, you know, I don't have to be there, but when I am, it's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, some people can't, but I'm not, you know, I mean, I love my husband. I'm devoted to him, but I'm not the joint to the hip type. So, you know, just fine. But, yeah, but it's not easy for a lot of folks. So, yeah, so you knew Izzy.
I do understand.
The call
that
was there. All you had to, you know, you figured you might as well pack up so they wouldn't have to wait on you, so the bus wouldn't leave
That's
without
right.
you.
That's right.
And by the way, is it true? Now I'm going to ask you another question. This is kind of like, you know, personal road stuff, but because you've toured with rock musicians who are famous, and soul musicians, and country stars. I mean, you've toured with Miranda Lambert, Hank Williams Jr.
I played on Miranda's first record.
Ah, okay.
So,
you didn't tour, but you played on her record.
Yeah, I didn't tour with Miranda. I just played on her record, her first record.
Okay, but you've been with
I haven't gotten a platinum.
Okay.
I haven't gotten a platinum record for it yet, so that goes out to you, Frank.
Oh, really? You want me to call somebody?
No.
I'm an entertainment publicist, Joey. I'll call somebody for you. Don't you worry. I'll call somebody, you know. But but is it a
Sorry
myth
to get that, off the track,
that
yeah.
Okay, that's no problem. Is it a myth that country western stars always have the best tour buses?
Actually, yeah, you know, I guess that is a myth because, I mean, everybody's on a Prevost now and they're pretty much all the same. So, but tour bus is like a home to me, even more than a hotel room. So, you know, I just love it when the generator's going and you're sitting there or you're laying there in your bunk and it's like 60 degrees and you're sleeping. It's one of my favorite feelings in the world.
Cool. You know, now I'm going to ask you about something else. And the same thing about being on the tour bus. Now, you say that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. But once one of my first musical guests when I began the podcast, very nice guy. I know you know him. His name is Rudy Sarzo.
Oh, yeah, Rudy.
Yeah. And he wrote a book about his, called Off the Rails, about his life with, or his time touring with Ozzy. And also that, of course, that covered the time when his friend Randy Rhoads, you know, was in that awful, the airplane accident.
Plane crash.
But, yeah, the plane crash. I'm sorry. Yeah, plane crash. And he said that in the beginning when he's touring with, you know, them, it's all fun and games. And then he starts noticing that anybody that's drunk and passes out, you know, they might wake up with half their head shaved and the other half dyed pink or something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, he said they did, somebody pulled a trick. I think it's Ozzy or somebody did that to one guy. Like, I don't remember who it was in the group. And so we're all sitting in a diner. This guy wakes up, comes in the diner, and people are looking at him. He's going, what's the matter with you people? Because he didn't know he had half a shaved head and half a pink head. He said, and I decided right then and there, I made up my mind that if I was going to ever be anything in this business, I needed to stay sober on the bus. So this couldn't happen to me.
Well, or make sure you're not, you know, make sure you're the soberest, I guess, the most sober.
He says, I can't get caught up in anything like this. So now you know I'm going to ask you to tell me, what are some of the best practical jokes that have been played on a bus?
Oh, God. That's so many. The only thing that I can think of, well, the guitar player for Matchbox 20, Kyle, he didn't have a sense of smell. And so whenever he would go days without taking showers and would kind of like reek a little bit, but he couldn't smell it. So the management kept telling him, you know, you got to watch your hygiene. You got to stay clean. And, you know, he was just blowing it off or whatever. So one day the tour manager, Dean, got like 1,000 of these evergreen air fresheners and put them all in his bunk. So... So I think he might have gotten the message then.
That was cool. I hope he was a good sport.
He was. He's a good guy. I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but.
Okay. Yeah, I've had, I love to hear some of those. We had another guy, a drummer, on here once, Joe Vitale. I'm sure you know him too.
Yeah.
And he was telling a story about when he was, I think him and Joe Walsh, on a plane, and he said this is back when you could have scissors on an airplane. And while they were on the plane, for some reason they thought it would be fun just to take a newspaper, cut it up, and tape it all to their clothes. So they walk out like walking newspapers. It doesn't sound like a really big deal, but I'm sure if you saw it, and then the process of them doing it while they're on the plane.
Sure. There's all kinds of, you know, just to not to just, so there's no boredom, you know, you do these things. Once I was with Keith and we were playing the Beacon Theater and I left my pass on the bus and, the tour manager said, "Oh, here's just a temporary one." But he said, "Don't let Joe, the security guy, see you without it, or you're going to get fined." And little to my knowledge is Joe was in on it, that there was no fine or anything. So he kept like showing up where I was, and I would have to like try to sneak out. And they did that to me all day. And you know, I was about exhausted trying to hide from Joe. Finally, he came up and told me. He told me it was a joke.
I guess that could be like an initiation too, huh? When you know.
Oh sure. I was new kid on the block.
It's kind of like initiating the kid brothers. So yeah, you're definitely in then. That's funny.
Yeah.
Not so funny then, but funny now.
Oh, well, it was funny afterwards.
I've got, if you're listening now, I want to talk to Joey Huffman. The number is 646-716-9922. Or if you can't call, if you're like our buddy Delia and you're at work and you can't stick a call, you can leave a message on Facebook or message it to me. And, in fact, I do have one. My friends, Joe Symes and Colin White. I don't think you know them. Maybe you do. But they are friends in the band called Joe Symes. Okay, Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. They're in Liverpool. And they've been touring a lot. And they've also been, they've been taken under the wing of that Gallagher boy. And,
Noel Gallagher.
Yeah. And played on gigs with the High Flying Birds and stuff. So anyway, they said hello, shout out, that you should come to Liverpool and
I'd love to do it.
Hang with them for a while. These guys are super. So all right, well I'll hook you up on here on Facebook because I like these guys too. So thank you, Joe, and thank you, Joe Symes, and thank you, Colin White, for listening in and a shout out. Now, you're about to go back out on the road, I understand, with Hank Williams. And earlier today, I posted a video of you, and I cannot remember the name of the show, the award show, but it was you were playing with Buddy Guy, Steve Tyler, doing a tribute to Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, the whole show was a tribute to Hank. They had all kinds of artists. We were the backup band because we were Hank's band, and they had all these artists come and play Hank songs. And it was, but the surprise was Steven Tyler and Buddy Guy coming and playing. All my Radix friends are coming over tonight. It was great though. It worked great.
I know. I had a dog. He just as best, but he was a shepherd and cardigan corgi mix. And whenever you had thunderstorm anxiety, I had to play either Coco Taylor, Big Mama Thornton, or Buddy Guy. He loved the blues. So it was like anything that's got Buddy Guy. I had to have a whole playlist of Buddy Guy, Big Mama Thornton, and Coco Taylor for him. So when I saw there was Buddy Guy, Steven Tyler, Joey Huffman in the band, it's like, oh, what a night. You know, I just could just feel chills just watching it. So and that if you get chills on a
Steven
video, watching a video, and then especially
yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Steven Tyler?
Steven was learning the lyrics, and him being from Boston, he didn't really know what put a pig in the ground meant, which is, you know, to barbecue a pig. So he was asking, what does this mean, put a pig in the ground? And they had to explain
That's
it to
hilarious.
Him.
And did he, I would imagine if he has to ask you that, you guys, that he's probably looking at you like, okay, you – are you telling me the truth, or are you just pulling my leg? You know, you're just making fun
right.
of me.
Right. That's the danger of asking that loaded question, isn't it?
I didn't
think about it. We could have told him anything.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, now that you tell me that, it makes sense because, I mean, you know, he did the song. He tore the stage, and he did great. But when I watched them on some of the lyrics, he looks like he wasn't really sure. About a couple of things,
yeah.
Like, and I think, you know, he's like, I'm not really sure what I'm talking about here. You know, but it was, am I saying it right? Am I going to be censored tomorrow? You know what? But I thought that was pretty fun. And now having a backstory on it, it's pretty good.
Yeah, he was a good sport about it.
That's good. Well, listen, now I also want to know, because we only have a few minutes left, and I'm, first of all, let me say thank you so much, Joey, for being so generous with your time.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because I know.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, you're one of the busiest men I know, but what about you? I know that you have a studio, or you're co-owner of the studio. It's called the Vault Recording Lounge.
Yeah.
And it's northeast of Atlanta, I think. Northeast or northwest of Atlanta in Marietta?
It's in Marietta right off the square, a couple of blocks off the square.
So I don't know when you have time or energy to do that, but tell us about the Vault.
It's a great place. Everybody that comes there and works there loves it. They love the vibe there. It's just so laid back. And we've got, you know, all the cool gear that you need to make records, and we kind of do it at our own pace, and I'm working with upcoming artists, and you know, it's just really cool. I mean, we can record, or we can stop and go to the square and have something to eat, and or just anything, you know. And I got a love for producing younger artists that are trying to make it in the business, and hopefully we'll get some success with some of these artists we're producing.
Anyone you want to give us a shout out to or name for us?
Well, there's so many. My Rebel episode, we did those guys. I don't know if you know them. And there's a girl named Kelsey Collins that's 21 and writes her own songs, and I think we're going to have good success with her. And there's a few others. We're trying to help them take it beyond just recording. We're trying to help them promote and you know, try to place their songs in a playlist and different things like that. Trying to you know, make their career, further their career, instead of just recording them and saying, hey, here, you know, thank you very much.
I can see that must be really especially cool. I mean, you've taken all of this vast experience and knowledge that you have, and to be able to share this and guide someone else's career, I'm sure they feel blessed, and that's got to be exciting for you too.
Oh, it is exciting for me. It's like, and these artists that I work with, I bond with them in some way. I couldn't work with somebody I couldn't, you know, if I had to go home and take two showers after doing it, you know, I get close to these artists and you know, want to help them. I mean, I don't want to be a manager, and I don't want to be a, you know, a publicist or whatever, but I try to help them, hook them up with people that can do that for them, and also, you know, maybe lay out a plan with them of what to do with the, after they haven't mastered, what to do with the product. So we've only been open a year and a half. So,
oh, really? Okay.
But we've been getting busier and busier.
And so how would people find you? Now, your website, joeyhuffman.com, and if you want to find that, I'll be sharing that on all of my social media, Joey's website, joeyhuffman.com. And then how do people get in touch with you at the Vault Recording Lounge?
Well, they can just send me an email, and I'll give them my phone number. You know, if they want to talk, they're local, and they you know, I can give them the dime tour of the studio and take them out for good lunch and explore our options. You know what I'm saying?
yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to, I'll also share information on the Vault Recording Lounge, like I said, on all of Madam Perry's social media. And I got so busy listening, I didn't get any songs that you produced from the vault
ready
to play,
for,
even though I put some of your work on video. But what will I go out with? I can go out with somebody we know. I can go out with a friend of ours. I've got Cheetah Chrome. I've got Ray D'Africo. How about our buddy Ray?
Ray would be good.
You think Ray? You think so?
I'd like to hear my buddy Ray.
Okay, so he's, I guess, like I said, when Kaz, you know, Chasm Sultan, bass player for Utopia, Joan Jett, when he was on, Ray told him, he said, because, you know, people that listen know that we're here in a genie bottle called Madame Perry Salon. And Ray said, listen, I've got my own seat here, my own cushion, and my own backpack. I'm here on almost every show. So Ray's such a dedicated guy. I'm going to, we're going to close out with Ray Something in the Night. And, again, my guest is Joey Huffman, musician. He's the producer. You can check him out. I'll have all the information about his website, what's going on with him, where you can see him, videos, and also how you can get in touch with him to record at the Recording Lounge. Joey Huffman, thank you. Wonderful. Everybody else, I love you too. So welcome back. Come back.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling really weird. Can't put my finger on it. Nothing seemed that clear.